This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sudip Parikh, and I have the privilege of leading DIA's activities in the Americas. And I have the privilege today of serving as your interviewer for Dr. Edward Abrahams, who is the president of the Personalized Medicine Coalition. He and the Personalized Medicine Coalition represent innovators, scientists, patients, providers, and payers. PMC promotes the understanding and adoption of personalized medicine concepts, services, and products for the benefit of patients and the health system. So I've read the canned part of that. Now we're going to have a discussion about what that actually means and the impact it's going to have on the health ecosystem. First of all, it's great to have you here. Thank you for being at the DIA meeting.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Please do it. I thought I'd start with just a little bit about you before we dive into the Personalized Medicine Coalition. Tell me about yourself. How does someone get to the point in their life where they're suddenly advocating on behalf of all these different stakeholders for something that, to my mother, would seem quite narrow?
Or obvious, if we explained it correctly.
Yeah.
I come out of the world of public policy, having worked on Capitol Hill for almost a decade some time ago. And I moved into health sciences because I understood that unless there were advocates for improving healthcare in the political system, which has so much influence over how healthcare is provided, never mind developed, that it wouldn't move along as fast as many of us wished. And so 15 years ago, I was offered a job to become the first president of the Personalized Medicine Coalition, which had just been founded after the mapping of the human genome. And our goal then, as now, is to facilitate investment in the field and more rapid adoption of what we call personalized medicine.
Mm-hmm. A basic question, what's the difference between personalized medicine and precision medicine? Are those interchangeable?
They're usually conflated, and we do use them interchangeably, except at the Personalized Medicine Coalition, we think that personalized medicine, we think that precision medicine is a subset of personalized medicine, because precision medicine is typically linking the therapy with the diagnostic, but it doesn't also challenge us to incorporate the patient's values into that decision making. And that's something that's very important to the Personalized Medicine Coalition, and why we like to call it personalized, because we want to incorporate more than pharmacogenomics, for example, into the equation.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So you spoke a bit about the history and the founding of the PMC. Is there more to that story? Who were the folks that sort of were the key people who made that happen?
There were around 20 different institutions across the spectrum of healthcare in 2003 that came together and said, personalized medicine or precision medicine wasn't going to happen just because the science points us in that direction. They understood that unless we change the system, unless we change the space between the science and the patient, which is so important, it wasn't going to happen as fast as otherwise. And so they organized this education and advocacy organization, these 20 institutions. Today, we're about 230 institutions that incorporate the pharmaceutical industry, diagnostic industry, venture capital, but also academic health centers, patient groups, providers, even a few payers, all of whom have this vision of moving us away from one-size-fits-all medicine to one where, as is often said, the right patient gets the right medicine at the right time.
Yeah.
We're far from having reached the mountaintop.
Yeah. You know, it's remarkable to me, though, when I looked at 2003 versus today, there's so many more tools now, right? I mean, when we first had the human genome in our hands, we thought, oh, this is great. You know, we're going to be able to make so much progress. But we didn't have the scissors and the copy and paste mechanisms that we have today. What remarkable progress.
Well, there's been remarkable progress in terms of technology, scientific understanding, and that's facilitated the movement of FDA approvals of personalized medicine, where in 2003 there might have been three, today there are almost 200. So that's an example of how quickly the field's developed. But I would say that we were over-optimistic in 2003 after the mapping of the human genome about what would be required to transform medicine. And there have been a lot of lessons learned along the way. It's been a real journey. And not without its challenges, not without a struggle.
Yeah, speaking of that, what are the opportunities and challenges that you see going forward from 2019? Do you see them on the technology side, on the regulatory side, and the political side?
Well, I all of the above. I actually think the first challenges are scientific and technical. It's not easy to understand at a molecular level how people are different, no matter how necessary that is to get better outcomes. So that we can start there. But then in addition, we have to be willing to pay for linking diagnostics to therapy. And payers want to see evidence that it works. The development of that evidence is expensive, and it's not altogether clear who's going to pay for it. So we have to do that. The regulators have to figure out how to move, and they are doing this at FDA, from one size fits all to using basket trials, for example, to approve drugs. Yeah. And finally, the providers, along with the payers, have to get on board and understand that there is value in a new system. And that they needn't focus, as we are unfortunately today, on the cost of products rather than what it's doing to the entire healthcare system. So these are the challenges that remain and actually have become more developed as we've gone into an era where we're talking almost exclusively about the quote unquote high cost of healthcare and not how innovation can perhaps solve some of the problems that patients face and that society faces. Yeah. Our contention is that personalized medicine will improve outcomes and lower systemic costs because we'll be much more efficient. But we've got to convince providers and payers that that's the fact.
I may have missed it. Are providers and payers, are any of them among your coalition?
Yes. Many. Sure. Our largest constituent, we have 14 different stakeholder groups in the coalition. The largest group are what we call research and educational institutions.
What are
some academic medical centers.
So when I hear you say those things, as PMC, where is the focus of your attention? Is it on Congress? Is it on the regulatory agencies, on NIH?
We're very supportive of NIH budgets. We're supportive of FDA budget. Our focus is on Congress, the agencies. But in general, we understand we need to educate people wherever they are about the power of personalized medicine. We know that outside of this audience, maybe even inside it a little bit, most people never heard of personalized or precision medicine and therefore don't understand what it can do for them. Yeah. We look forward to the day when patients ask, is this going to work for me? And we look forward to the day when providers can answer that question.
It's a great question. So what is that conversation like with members of Congress? You worked in Congress. They're busy people. They have to talk about defense issues. They've got to talk about local issues. What's that conversation like on an issue like this?
Well, we're starting at a relatively low level. I think they want to know, first of all, what it is and why they should invest in it. Are generally persuaded that it's a very good idea because everybody at some time or another is a patient. And I've never met anybody that didn't understand once you explained to them that not all drugs work for everybody and it's important to know for whom they work before they're prescribed. So Congress is receptive to that message. Mm-hmm. Obviously they have issues that they're working on and that sometimes divide our constituencies, but in the end of the day, we think if the constituencies are willing to compromise and share value with each other, that patients will benefit in the long run, and so will the health system.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, it's the part I find hard about it is that it's not always a two sentence soundbite. It's a slightly longer conversation to explain this kind of thing.
It is, yeah. But they're interested. Yeah. I mean, they're very interested, and there are a fair number of physicians in Congress that. And on both sides of the aisle that are very interested. And one of the things that we're doing is putting together a personalized medicine caucus on Capitol Hill to be a font of information for the congressional branch of government about what this is and how we can facilitate its adoption.
Is this one of those rare instances where there is bipartisan support and perhaps even bicameral and throughout government support?
Yes, there is. Nobody opposes it.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. Some might fear some aspects of it, but nobody opposes it. So it's really important to get the word out and to educate people about what we need to do to move from one size fits all to one that where therapy is targeted.
If I were an organization that were interested in joining PMC, how do you make that happen?
My number is 202-589-1770.
I probably laughed over that.
And seriously, you can go on our website and take a look at who we are. We're only as strong as our members, and it's important that we continue to expand in among all the sectors in healthcare. I should add, we're not a trade association. We don't have one business model that we support, and that's our strength.
That's terrific. Well, Dr. Abrams, I wish you and the PMC the best in terms of making this happen, because frankly, we all have something to gain from.
Well, I thank the DIA for inviting me here, and I'm looking forward to my panel later in the day where we're going to be discussing these issues.
Terrific. Well, Sumesh, wonderful to see you. Take care.
Thank you.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.